You're with SBS Radio.
En dan door met een reportage van Joël Glas. Joël is een door Australië rondreizende in een grote off-road land cruiser journalist. En op haar reizen komt ze wel eens mensen tegen met een bijzonder verhaal. In deze reportage gaat Joël een stukje wandelen bij Simpsons Gap in de McDonnell Ranges, niet ver van Alice Springs. Haar medewandelaarster is Lies Pijmans, die in Alice Springs heeft gewoond en daar nu op het moment op bezoek is. Een bekende plek voor haar, waar ze ooit haar overleden moeder naartoe bracht, die daar dan ging zitten schilderen. Lies is tweede generatie Nederlands. Ze is vergroeid met het Australische landschap, maar ze is ook getekend door het continent. In maart dit jaar is haar huis, het familiehuis, in een felle bosbrand in het kustplaatsje Tatra in New South Wales volledig afgebrand. Nu, 5 maanden later, tijdens de wandeling, vertelt ze daarover in het half Nederlands, half Engels.
Goedemorgen, vandaag zit ik in de auto met Lies Pijmans. Goedemorgen Lies.
Goedemorgen Joël.
En we zijn onderweg naar een plek vlakbij Alice Springs, jawel. En die heet Simpsons Gap. En jij hebt ook wel wat met Simpsons Gap, Lies.
Ja, ik heb hier gewoond. En ja, Simpsons Gap is heel mooi. Ik heb mijn moeder daar gebracht. Zodat zij kan schilderen.
Ja.
Ja, ik vind Simpsons Gap heel, heel mooi. Ja.
Je Nederlands is niet geweldig meer.
Nee, helemaal niet. Nee.
Maar we proberen het toch even en ja, ga gewoon op Engels over als het dat makkelijker voor je is.
Ja, ja, nee. Oké.
Hoe kwam jij naar Australië?
Op een boot, wanneer ik 8 jaar was.
En hoe lang
was
dat geleden?
Oh, ongeveer 50 jaar.
Je hebt dus 3 zussen.
Ja, Anneke, Els en Joke, ja.
Dat zijn hele Nederlandse namen,
ja,
hè?
Ja, ja.
En je praat nog Nederlands met je zussen?
Ja, soms. Niet often.
No.
Maar ja, soms omdat wij vinden het heel leuk.
Ja.
En wij lachen. Een heleboel lachen als wij Nederlands
praten.
Ja.
Er zijn hier heel veel van die kleine vinkjes. En zebrafintjes. Kijk eens aan. Oh, prachtig, hè?
Ja, prachtig.
Ja. In maart 2018 was er in het dorp Tathra aan de kust in New South Wales een grote brand die 70 huizen verwoestte. Een van die huizen was het huis van Lies.
Ik was misschien 30 kilometers up the road in een andere place. Maar wij horen het over de radio. En zo we gaan direct naar huis. Toen ik naar mijn huis kwam. Iedereen in that village was leaving.
Yeah,
they were leaving.
Okay.
So, ik weet niet wat ik moet doen. Ik heb helemaal geen idee over. Ik geloof dat het niet gebeurt. Ik kan het niet geloven.
Kon het niet geloven?
Nee, there has nooit been a fire in Tathra.
Nog nooit een brand
geweest.
En het was een zware, felle bosbrand.
Heel zware. Oh. Ja, heel vlug.
Ja.
Heel vlug. Heel catastrophic.
So you made it back to your house and the fire was raging all around you still, or
nee, the fire had nog niet, it wasn't there yet. I grabbed my iPad, my phone and my car and weggegaan. Yeah.
With your fingers crossed and your toes crossed, or what?
Yeah, I had not a good feeling.
Nee,
niet goed gevoel. I stood on a cliff nearby and looked out, and ik kan het zien. Ik kan de enorme
vlammen
zien. En ik denk, mijn huis is gone.
Ja. Stond je daar niet op je benen te trillen dan?
Ja, ik was paralyzed. Ja, ik kon niet denken, omdat also my vriend with who I was with.
Ja.
Hij zegt naar mij, it's nothing to worry about. So I couldn't express my fear and my worry. I just froze.
You stood there.
Stood there.
And did you actually see your house burn down? Or?
No, because I didn't have such a good view of my actual house, but I could hear the gas bottles in my yard go explode, which then burnt my garden as well. But yeah, but niet iedereen van mijn straat was verbrand. Alleen maar mij. Ah. Alleen maar ik.
En hoe kwam dat, denk je?
Omdat the fire brigade and the rescue service and the volunteer fire brigade and also the paid fire brigade, ze waren allemaal op mijn straat, maar mijn huis is behind, is
just a bit further behind.
Behind the ze kunnen niet met de waterdagen. Ja, en maar al die andere huizen waren gewaterd.
Mm. Je vreesde het ergste en wat gebeurde er toen?
Toen ik hoorde op de radio dat we moeten allemaal
you could go and evacuate.
Ja. Ik ga noord to my sister's house in Brogel. And then that night I got a phone call from a vriendin who said, your house has been burned down. Yeah, so.
Do you remember what went through you at that time?
Yeah, deep shock. Deep sadness, shock. Disbelief, but I waited at mijn huis. Yeah, wasn't likely to be there, yeah. So ik heb mijn zoon getext.
Yeah.
You need to say goodbye to my house.
So you just said you got your iPad and your phone?
Yeah.
Do you regret taking anything else?
Not taking it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, heel veel, yeah.
Like what?
Mijn moeder was een schilder en ik heb hele mooie schilders van haar en van mijn zuster en van mijn zoon en ja, ze zijn allemaal verbrand, weg, ja. Yeah.
Oké, okay. De schilderijen van je moeder, daar denk je nog vaak aan.
Ja, en ik was ook de foto's, alle familiefoto's.
Allemaal weg.
Ja, ik had de hele boel alles. In mijn huis. Ik heb alles.
Had alles?
Ik had alles.
Ja. Alles. Niet nu niet meer dus.
Nee, en mijn zusters en mijn neefjes en nichten. Ja, they trusted me with all the photos. Omdat ik ben goed. Ik ben trustworthy.
You feel guilty?
Ja, nee. Ik voel niet guilty.
No. Okay.
Ik kan niks. Ik kan niks van dat doen, nee.
Nothing you could do
about it.
Were you insured?
Ja, ja.
Did that help?
I've been paid out, ja. Misschien niet zoveel als ik wil.
No.
Maar beter dan niks. Beter dan, het is genoeg, denk ik. Ik denk dat het genoeg is, maar niet. The house was originally my sister's,
right.
But she built it so that it would suit my parents. And I was there in that house looking after my parents. But then when they both died, I bought the house from my sister. So I've owned it since 2004.
I see.
Yeah. Mm. But it was where my parents lived and, yeah, when I looked after them.
When was the first time that you got to go back to where your house once stood?
It was probably about a week after the fire. They wouldn't let us back in. Yeah. Because of asbestos and too much danger and it was horrific, yeah, to see it. Yeah. That was one of the hardest moments, I think, to see my garden reduced to ashes. I had a very beautiful garden.
Yeah.
I had a veranda, a lovely veranda full of pot plants and a little pond and
yeah.
Yeah, so to see all of that just reduced to a pile of rubble and black, horrible, smelly rubble was pretty hard at first, yeah.
Did you have to do all the cleanup yourself?
No, the insurance company did that. And the council, if your insurance company didn't do it, the council did it. So.
And did you go through whether there was anything there that you could rescue or was still okay? What was?
Well, there was heaps of people who lost their houses, or the ones I know anyway, who went back to their house sites and trawled through the rubble and found little treasures, the things that they, you know, that were, yeah, little mementos and so on, and maybe even bits of artwork, because one of them was an art. But my house was too dangerous. There was a Besser brick wall, a couple of walls still standing but very unstable, and a huge metal beam just kind of balancing on top. It's a much smaller space with everything squashed into this one little space, because it was a two-story house, so everything was crumpled in on itself. But my son really wanted to do that. He really wanted to go through the stuff.
And did he?
And find things. No, in the end we wouldn't let him because it was too dangerous. And I just thought, it really doesn't look like we'll find anything. It all looks so destroyed. The only thing I found in the actual house on the house site was a pot that I'd made when I was 13 with an old Dutch friend of mine called Petrus. He was a friend of my dad's who taught me to make. I'd made it with him when I was 13, and it had fallen from the top veranda down to the bottom, and it was still complete. It was still there. And so I took that with me to this. And it's, yeah, now it's standing on, it's amazing. It's a big, fat, not a beautiful thing, but it's, you know, it's all right.
It's got an extra meaning now. Is that Petrus, is he still alive?
Yes, he is. Petrus is still alive.
Did you tell him?
I did. Yes, I did. He rings me every year, and he heard about the fire, and I rang him, and yes, we had a talk. And yes, I mean, he's pretty old now, but yes, he was pretty chuffed about that. Yes, wow. I went on a meditation walk just in the local area. It was a 9-day meditation walk called a yatra. That was about a month, I think, after the fire, and that really changed my perception and my sense of equanimity, I suppose, because I was feeling really very anxious. My stomach was churning all the time. I was easily teary. I was very teary. I was short, you know, had a short fuse. I couldn't cope with people or crowds, or, you know, it was really quite different from, I just wasn't functioning as I normally do. And so then I was a bit worried about this yatra, this walk, because it was with 30 people, but it was a silent walk. And one of my very good friends here from Alice Springs, Jenny Taylor, was one of the teachers on the walk. And so I knew that there was going to be at least her and other people who I knew locally on the walk. And it was just the best and most amazing thing. We walked through beautiful country. Even though it's local, it's areas that I've not walked across because there was some private land, and we were fed every day. The weather was beautiful. The sea was beautiful to swim in. We walked in silence all day, every day. You know, we talked in the mornings and in the evenings, but during the day we didn't. And it was just the best thing. When I got back, I felt completely healed. I felt almost completely healed. Didn't cry anymore, didn't feel anxious anymore. I mean, I have my moments still now, you know, like where I feel a bit down about the fact that I have to start all over again, and it's a big effort, and it's a lot of thinking and deciding, and it's a bit like, oh, I don't really want to be here doing this, but yeah, I've got no choice, so yeah. Okay, I had a photo. I don't have it anymore, obviously, but I had a photo of my mum and my dad just standing just in front of that cliff down there near the water with my niece, who was about 8 or 9. She was completely naked.
Yeah.
And she'd just been clambering all over the rocks and it was a photo of me. Actually, it was me and Dad and Rosie, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right here at Simpsons. Yeah. And wow. Your mum made a painting of Simpsons
Gap
too.
Yes, so we dropped mum off just down the other end of the gap, up in the riverbed, and she sat there and she painted looking back up here. And I had a beautiful painting, yes, of these red rocks with the spinifex and the and the white, the golden sand and the blue sky. It was a lovely painting. So, yeah.
I'm sure it's etched in your memory.
Well, it is, yeah. Yes, that's true. As she is, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you,
Joel. In this beautiful Simpson Gap where we every now and then get some people passing by and gazing around.
It is beautiful. And I'm sorry that my Dutch failed me. It just isn't possible to talk fluently, is it, when you have...
Look.
Well, thank you. I hope your listeners can appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to my story.
My
Thanks.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Dat was de rondreizende journalist Joël Glas, die ging wandelen met Lies Paaijmans ergens in het grote rode hart van dit continent.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.